I well recognize very few people do what I do, but for those who do, you pay an extraordinarily high price. And that high price is, in fact, punishment. It is a choice. I mean, I will tell you, it was a choice I made. I well knew what the risks were. Convicted by my own conscience, I was not going to continue to remain silent, having gone through all the channels, knowing that I had the choice, fraught with peril, to go to the press. But I knew that in going to the press, that it was more than just violating administrative policy. It could include accusations or allegations of criminal activity on the part of the government. But on the other hand, what do you do when your own government at very, very senior levels is in abject violation of the very oath that you took to support and defend, which was the idea of how to govern ourselves? Is your loyalty to the organization, is your non-disclosure agreement, which involves what's actually classified, does that somehow trump the Constitution, the First Amendment? Is secrecy, in this case, the trust, even if it's misplaced, where trust becomes loyalty, and if you break loyalty, then you get punished, which is sort of like the Omerta Pact? I don't think so, because the primacy for me in all this was the Constitution. You know, everybody fell under it. No one was above the law. I grew up in the 70s, a very young teenager, that the president himself was not immune from the Constitution and the rule of law. This has been severely eroded over the last number of decades.
From when you look back from your very beginning, even as a government contractor, to when you said, all right, I got to blow the whistle, and I know that was the end of my career. I mean, has things changed that much? Or is the change because, you know, Robert Hansen or Alger James could only take so much paper out with them, but the digital age has brought such a major change?
I actually think it's more of a cultural, I'd say more of the toxicity that's engendered by institutions who now are largely immune from change themselves. You know, they punish those who are going to hold up mirrors. So I think it's just very telling on this particular administration, beyond all others. In fact, I've charged more Americans espionage for non-spy activities than all other presidents combined. There had only been four that have been charged. Ellsberg was the first. There was two other cases. Then there was me. I was the fourth. There had only been three previous of this type. What does that tell you? You know, that means that the government really is apoplectic about controlling information. Remember, this technology you talk about where people have greater access to information or more ability or works the other way as well. It gives the government the ability to monitor far beyond, you know, the wildest imaginations of a Hoover, for example. You have this interesting shift. We've had contractors from the very first years of the United States, you know, going back to even the Revolutionary War. But here, increasingly, you're outsourcing what's called core mission, that what were inherently governmental functions are mostly being done by contractors. The actual work itself, less and less of it's actually being done by someone who actually has, you know, a government ID.
This administration tried to come in with the idea of insourcing, realized it wasn't going to work, and they abandoned that fairly quickly, the cost and then the lack of support. Is there a way to fix this trust relationship? I mean, is it too far gone, in your opinion?
My former agency is beyond reform, and I believe that partly because both internal efforts and external efforts, and some of these have been pretty significant, have largely resulted in little or no change at all. You know, I just look at what's happening right now in Congress with just the USA Freedom Act alone, this extraordinary behind-the-scenes lobbying and influence to essentially neuter what was a very good bill and had lots of promise. Now it's just kind of a shell game of reforming out-of-control surveillance apparatus to the point where it's going to appear to satisfy some because it's something when it comes woefully short of really doing anything substantive. And so when you say, is there any hope? I mean, this gets back to the leadership. This gets back to culture. This gets back to how even Americans regard government. We sort of have a love-hate relationship with government. It's like we don't want them in our lives, and yet they're more in our lives now than ever. And on the other hand, we give them wide berth to, quote-unquote, make that sausage. And yet then, you know, when you have scandals and crises and corruption, then people tend to point fingers and blame government, when ultimately they got to look in the mirror and also blame themselves, because it is we the people in this country at the end of the day.
There's this trust but verify culture that has and is around, meaning, yeah, I'm going to hire you to do a job, and yeah, I trust you, but I'm going to verify that you do everything you say you're going to do. You're not going to steal stuff, and you're not going to put documents on the web. And they're adding to that culture of trust.
Actually, but verify. They're making it worse. I could even speak to Snowden in this regard. People have said, yeah, it's a fundamental systemic failure in terms of security. You know, if you are in the secret world and you have a clearance, that automatically is a continuing condition of employment. We have to continuously trust you. Well, one way to ensure that is we just monitor everything you're doing. And, you know, they have this incredibly robust, to use that word, robust insider threat program. And part of it's born out of fear. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, who could be the next Snowden? You've got incentives for people to turn each other in if they think that, you know, a fellow employee is up to no good or stays a little bit too late or appears to have put something, you know, in their purse or in their briefcase or in their pocket. I mean, how far do you go? I mean, now you got employees turning against each other, right? What, to save their skins and keep their jobs? I mean, is that the kind of culture that you want to create? I don't think so. If you go back to the causal factors here, is you have incredible breaches of trust that are actually being committed willfully. These are acts of commission, not omission, by the highest levels of our government. Because what? Catch 22, we got the power, and you know who's going to stop us now? I mean, maybe the oath to the Constitution doesn't matter. That trust, even if you breach that, that the only oath that matters is to your institution and just following orders and let others take care of you, right? And so as long as you're quiet and you don't raise any hassles and don't dissent and don't question, then everything's okay. Well, what does that do? What does it do to who we are? What does it do to even the governance? I mean, that's not openness and transparency, and it's certainly in the secret world, it becomes even more of an issue. You're right. If that trust is only maintained by assuming that everybody's suspicious, and we have to monitor you all the time, extending not just to work but outside of work, well, I know from my own experience what that does to you. Okay, what it means when the government monitors you on a regular or even persistent basis.
If you could look back and do it all over again, knowing what you know now, would you still have gone through the same thing you went through? And would you tell other employees that following their conscience is the highest, most important thing?
Ultimately, it's our individual sovereignty that is far superior to any claimed sovereignty on the part of the state. That's the heart of a free and autonomous human being in partnership with others. In today's U.S. government, it's a dangerous act to blow the whistle. I'm simply, you know, exhibit number one, and yet there are more whistleblowers coming forward, right? Some that you haven't even heard about yet, as a result of just what's been occurring under the Obama administration now for the past 5, going on 6 years, than even in the years prior, you know, as people are confronted by their conscience, and do they choose to remain silent or do they choose to speak out, whether it's within the system or whether it ultimately results in without the system. Look, how do you keep government in check? How do you keep government accountable? If all the checks and balances aren't doing it, and if the government itself is retaliating against the very people who would use even the proper channels, you know, if you've exhausted all channels or the channels are no longer available to you, or the channels themselves are basically exposure channels, they're not disclosure channels, then you need to seriously consider what are the risks before you decide to touch the third rail. You go to the press, because that's the fourth estate. Especially given what's transpired in the last, you know, under Obama, you need to, you know, work with a whistleblower advocacy group to understand what those perils are. And if you're involved in national security, you might want to have a criminal defense attorney on retainer just in case. Okay. Would I do it all over again? Yes. There's a couple of things I would have done differently, and one of them is I never would have cooperated with the FBI, because that cooperation over a 5-month period, which was of my own choosing, I wasn't coerced into cooperating. They read me Miranda rights, and he said anything you say can be used against you. Well, it certainly was. But the reason I cooperated with them was to report high crimes and misdemeanors and all the fraud, waste, and abuse. They didn't want to hear about that. They didn't want to hear about the direct threats to public safety. This is one of the things that was sort of glossed over in my own case, that the government ultimately made us less secure, not more secure.